You're listening to Atlanta Baseball Talk, your weekly podcast for all things Atlanta Braves.
Welcome to Atlanta Baseball Talk and show number 373. Today is Sunday, July 2nd, and my name is Hamilton. Happy early 4th of July to all of you out there, and a happy early birthday to my dad, Mark. Kurt, you want to throw one to my dad?
Happy birthday, Mark.
Thanks. I'm glad to be back after a couple weeks, but unfortunately, or fortunately, we are without Steve tonight, so it's just Curtis and myself. And before we get to it, remember that you can find us always at www.atlantabaseballtalk.com. You can find us on blogtalkradio.com. Follow us on Twitter at ATL Baseball Talk. Check out our Facebook page and help us spread the word, folks. Go to iTunes, give us a review, just give us a rating, give us 5 stars because we're worth it. Go to Stitcher, wherever you find us, and spend a little bit of time to spread the love. It takes just a couple seconds. It would mean a lot to us. And, you know, retweet us, like us on Facebook, do all that stuff. All right, so on tonight's show, we're going to talk about the past, present, and the future of the Braves pitching staff. We will check in on Freddie's imminent return, Freeman, not Gonzalez, don't worry. We'll celebrate Ronald Acuna and Mike Soroka's selection to the Futures game and maybe give Ender some love there as well. And we'll discuss ESPN's recent ranking of all of the rebuilding teams in the major leagues. All that plus shot in the dark and the week ahead. But first, a quick break. All right, Curtis, so let's start off by talking about pitching. And let's talk about a former Braves pitcher, Bartolo Colon.
Thank God.
Or as you like to call him, the big colon.
The big colon.
And up until his recent release, that's pretty much, he pretty much produced the same thing that a big colon would produce. So, while with the Braves, Bartolo gave us 2 wins and 8 losses, an 8.14 ERA, 11 homers. And the number that really jumps out when you look at what stands, you know, as the rest of his career is a 1.778 whip, which is just horrid. Andy gave us a lot of memories we wish we didn't have for him. So, Curtis, you know, I know there's not much left to say here. We've sort of been on this train for a while, and you and Steve covered this last night. But any parting shots or any last, you know, before we never speak of Bartolo again, anything you'd like to say?
No, I'd be curious to see where his season ranks among all-time stink bombs.
Yeah.
I mean, it was just, it was beyond batting practice. I was texting Steve some of these other numbers the other night, and I'm not even going to dig into them because they're just a joke. But I mean, it was, you know, like batting average against in his last few starts was over 400. The BABIP for him this year is 360.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Stranded only 48.2% of base runners this year, which the normal rate for starters is about 70%, which his 48.2 was the lowest mark in the majors. So basically 50% of people that got on base against him were scoring. Yeah, it was, you know, I get what they tried to do. Sometimes these things work, sometimes they don't.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, you got to give, you got to give Copy credit. He gave it, he rolled the dice, and we knew that from the beginning, and it wasn't a completely stupid move. I mean, if you look at what the Mets, what he did with the Mets last year, but.
Well, I mean, he won his stretch of the Mets, he won more starts than any other Mets starter. And you think about, obviously, there's been a lot of injury issues with a lot of those guys, but I mean, that's a pretty young, dynamic staff of a lot of really high talented pitchers.
Oh, yeah.
And it was Colon who was winning all the games for them.
Yeah.
So,
you know, and for me, to find a bright side is he actually did make it easier for me to remember that this is a rebuilding year, to not have hope. And, you know, every time I would get the Steve like sneaky, I'm going to refer to Steve a lot during the show, just so you know, that feeling that maybe we could surprise folks this year and maybe the wild card was in shot. Then Colon would start and then it would all come crashing back to earth. So at least he kept me grounded in what the reality is. And I, you know, a great guy. I think we had, you know, I think maybe the other thing we had hoped is that he would have been a good veteran leadership presence for the other younger pitchers. I think Dickey has proved provided more of that than Cologne did. But I wish him well. I can't wait for him to go to the Mets, back to the Mets, and go 9-1 with a 3.5 ERA over the rest
of
the season.
Yeah, I know you're joking, but I just don't see that happening.
No,
he clearly is. It's over.
Yeah, and even if he does, I mean, there may be a chance that they're, I mean, they're sort of desperate. They take a flyer on him, but that magic is gone for Cologne. All right, so let's take a look at the present of Braves pitching, and let's start with Folty. So on Friday night, so close to a no-hitter. He ended up going 8 innings, gave up 1 hit, 1 run, and he just owned the A's, who, for what it's worth, are pretty cheap to own, but still. And you know, just to give it a little bit more context, Folty capped off June by making it 5 starts out of his last 6 without allowing more than 2 runs. His ERA is now down from just above 4 to 3.83, which is the best ERA on the staff, not counting Sean Newcomb or Rex Brothers, if you guys actually even know who that is. So, Curtis, you know, you and I and Steve, but I remember we both made this point in our preseason show that this was the year for Folty. And he was ready for the bust-out year. And even though it seems that he had a rough start to the season, he's here. He is doing what I think both you and I thought he would do. So I have 2 questions for you, and then, you know, feel free to say whatever. But if right now, if the Braves somehow made it into a 1-game playoff, are you giving the ball to anybody but Folty?
Personally, no, but I would imagine that Tehran would probably get that start.
If it's on the road.
Yeah, I mean, I just think that he would be the guy. Yeah. But no, it's pretty, as you just mentioned, it's pretty straightforward that Folty is our best starting pitcher. Newcomb is probably our second best starting pitcher right now, which is great. You know, that's the future of the team. It's not R.A. Dickey and it's not Jaime Garcia. Tehran will obviously hopefully be a component of that. But yep. Yeah, I mean, this is the future, and this is what gets you excited as a Braves fan, that you get to look forward to what exists there on the horizon for him. You know, in another trade where I think that Folty was the Gattis trade.
Yeah.
Which, you know, I mean, Gattis, as much as and everyone loved Gattis, sort of a one-dimensional player, and was a much better fit for an American League team where he could be a DH. And he is proven to be that player for Houston, and good for him. But a great return for a player who really had no position for the Braves. Another great move by Coppola.
Yeah. And it's just, I mean, I think back to 2 years ago, and even last year, even more so, that, I mean, there are so many pitchers who, if they can't control their stuff, I mean, the history is littered with names forgotten about people with amazing stuff who just couldn't control it. And Folty was right there. I mean, he was maddening, and he would have those great starts, and then he would have those horrible stretches. And I was not convinced. And then his last year sort of, you know, ended going into this year, I think we started to pin our hopes on him being that pitcher that you just talked about, one of the cornerstones of our young rotation. And it's so gratifying that I think that he is here now, and I think this is the real deal. His mental game has caught up with his physical talents. He doesn't get too far ahead of himself. He stays in the moment. He's got sick stuff, and we are very lucky to have him. And I think we will look back on this trade and we won this Astros trade. I mean, to your point, Gattis is good for the Astros, but I think if you put Folty up against any other pitcher in the National League over the last 6 starts, he's one of the better ones. And I think we're going to continue to see stretches like that. So I'm excited.
Yeah, and you hope, obviously, he continues to flourish. And it goes to add to that point that Newcomb is also was a guy that struggled a lot with his location and has really changed that since he's come to the majors. And the Braves, frankly, have a lot of really young, talented pitchers who have a lot of location problems. And so hopefully they have sort of figured something out where these guys can sort of work on their craft in the minors, and then they've got some formula when they get up here that helps with these guys' location, because, you know, it's paid off with those two guys so far. And yeah, I mean, it's exciting to see, and you know, this is what we need. And to get to get a starting pitcher of hopefully of this caliber for a player like Gattis, it's, you know, you feel lucky if you land on one of these.
That's true. So quick close on this. And you mentioned Newcomb. Is Folti our most untouchable pitcher at this point?
You're talking like
just trade
franchise wise, the whole thing.
No. Starting rotation right now. If somebody came in and said, "I want one of your starters," is Folti the most untouchable right now?
Wow. I don't know. I don't know that I can answer that. I mean, it's obviously 1-2 with he and Newcomb. Maybe so.
I mean, for me, I think if the Braves...
Actually, you know what? It's clearly R.A. Dickey.
It's Cologne. Is it too late? Is it too late? Damn. I feel like the Braves offense is there. It's a good offense. I think if we were still struggling and still throwing out Ibar and some other holes in the lineup, maybe we're wasting Folti on a lineup that can't support him, but I actually think the lineup can support him. And I think right now, if we're looking to be competitive in 2018 and beyond, I think for me, Folti is barely more untouchable than Newcomb, but it's 1-2 for those guys. All right. So another quick check on our present pitching. And this is not going to be fun, but let's look at Jaime Garcia. So just over a month ago, we were all pretty high on Garcia and his amazing production, and God, he could fetch us so much on the trade market, or maybe we just keep him and he's a piece of the rotation. And that is sort of flattened out over his last five starts. So over those starts, he's 0-3. The Braves are 2-3. He has a 6.75 ERA. 6 homers allowed. He's got a 300 batting average against. He's bad. So, you know, for me, I think we were all hoping, like I said, that he would continue to shine and he would fetch us something great on the trade market. But I think that ship has sailed. I don't know if he's got a lot of appeal for folks. And now I think we're looking at someone who gives us 5 to 6 innings a game, maybe a 50% chance of winning. So I don't know. For me, I think, I don't think you necessarily send him the way of Cologne right now, but I don't think he's far behind. I mean, we have him signed through the end of the season, so it's not like we're giving up on a lot. And I think as soon as Sims or somebody else comes knocking on the door, for me, he's the next to go. I don't want him taking starts from any young pitchers. I don't know if you feel any differently.
I don't know that I'm quite to that extreme yet. I think that the last three starts obviously have been terrible. 6 runs in each, 10.13 ERA in his last three starts. So he's not helping. There's no doubt about that. I think honestly there might be a team that would be willing to trade for him as like a fourth starter, something like that. But obviously the value of what you're getting back has completely disappeared. Yeah.
But I would take cash considerations at this point.
Yeah, maybe so. Maybe. I don't know that they at this point. I think he's shown some starts that he's had, and he had a pretty good stretch there, sort of the end of May, beginning of June, where he looked much better than he does now. And so I think the teams would still see that, and I think the Braves still see that as viable, and that maybe that. You know, I mean, he had a couple of stretches early in the year where he was not as great. So maybe they're hoping that this is just a bad run here and he'll get it all figured out. But I don't think that they're quite to that point yet.
Yeah, but it could be close. I mean, 2 or 3 more starts like this, and I think those questions get a little bit louder.
Yeah, and I also don't think they're going to eat another $12 million or whatever it is contract.
Yeah, probably. All right, so someone who we thought would be knocking on the door but is not knocking on the door is our boy Chris Medlin. He had sort of had some good starts, and I know that his last start was good, but he's not really killing it in AAA. So over his last 5 starts, he's 0-2 with a 7.01 ERA and a 3.09 batting average against. So he's basically doing what Jaime is doing against lesser competition. So what about him? You hoping to see Medlin soon, or what do you think the path is for him?
Probably just out of nostalgia. I'm completely rooting for Chris Medlin, but he's not been good at all since he's been moved up to Gwinnett. I mean, he had I guess his first start there was pretty – first two starts, but the last three have just been train wreck material.
Yeah.
5, 6, 4 earned, including a two-inning outing. So I think that I felt like he was sort of on the cusp. If they needed a spot start, something like that, when he came up and his first two starts were 3 earned and 2 earned, both quality starts, but the last three have just really not been that great. And I think that he's going to have to show a lot more for Gwinnett before he'll have any chance of being brought up.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of guys in line in front of him for that next start. I mean, you know, I would rather – I do just like him so much and – you know, if we're going to have to see someone up here getting knocked around, in some ways I would rather it be Medlin, although at the same time I'd rather not see him facing the same stuff that Garcia is having happen to him. But, yeah, the luster's died off. I don't think we see Medlin in a Major League Braves uniform again. All right, well, let's talk about the future, Curtis, speaking of Medlin's future. But let's talk – you know, we've talked a lot about the future that's within the Braves system. But this week, DOB put out an article you know, when we went and played the A's, there were scouts on the road. But essentially, the Braves are still interested, like they were in the offseason when we were talking about Chris Sale, in trading for a top-of-the-rotation starter and have expressed interest in Chris Archer of the Rays and Jose Quintana of the White Sox. And obviously, when they were looking at the Athletics, they were looking at Sonny Gray, who pitched Saturday. So there's really two questions here. And the first question is... do you think the Braves actually have the pieces and the desire to outbid the Yankees and the Red Sox and the other suitors that are out there to get any of these guys before the trade deadline?
I guess my concern with all this is to what end? I mean, I still feel like the Braves are a season away at best. I mean, I you know, I'm not 2018 to me is not striking me as it is another season where we're right there as well. So I would just hate to give up a big,
you'd have to give
load of. Yeah. And yeah. I mean, that just concerns me. None of these guys, and it's not like you're getting Chris Sale or somebody where they're going to come in and they're going to be an absolute ace and going to be overpowering and you're going to get a player like that. I mean, these guys, and frankly, right now, any of these guys, I mean, we just talked about it. They're certainly behind Folty.
Absolutely.
So they're not even going to be an ace of your staff. So you're talking there, you're going to give up a haul to get a second or a third starter for your team. And I just, if you're going to make a move like that, and you're going to give up a bunch of players, to me, you do it for something much more valuable than. And I mean, Sonny Gray's having a you know, career year on so many fronts. Chris Archer's a solid pitcher. Jose Quintana's a solid pitcher. But none of them sort of give me any sense that, wow, man, if we make that move, that really.
Yeah,
that's a huge leap forward in where we want to be.
You're still taking a flyer on those guys, right? Quintana, however you say it, and Archer are both 28. I mean, the plus side is that they're under control.
Yeah, they're
for
cheap.
A couple more years.
Relatively cheap.
You've got a Vandy connection. You know, Sonny Gray. I mean, he's got two arbitration years, I think, ahead of him. So, you know, you could work it out with him. But they're not knocking the doors down. And even Sonny Gray, I mean, he really shut us down the other night after he gave up the runs. But I'm with you. It's not Chris Sale. It's not Zach Greinke pitching for the Brewers, right? Or, you know, one of those people who's sort of an ace stuck on a bad team. These guys are good, but I don't think, and I hope that we don't try to outbid the big players for them during the trade deadline, because I think the price is going to be higher than it was during the offseason, obviously. And I don't know. I mean, I could see it if it was someone who maybe was a little bit more of the sure thing, that would be the right move for the Braves, because maybe, you know, you swap out a Cologne for a Chris Archer. But someone who's better. I mean, obviously we're competing quicker than we are at the trajectory that we're on right now. But I can't say I would be so pumped if the news came across the wire that Braves trade Lucas Sims and Dustin Peterson and something, you know, probably, and I think that's probably what we're talking about, right, for one of those guys. I think I would be disappointed.
Absolutely. Same.
Yeah. All right. So quick check-in on the very near future of a non-pitching Brave. It's Freddie Freeman. So on Saturday, he had his first rehab start after 6 weeks, which seems just crazy way ahead of schedule, which I'm, for the record, totally fine with. And he started at third in Gwinnett. He went 0-for-1 with a K, although he did say that he was so happy to be at the plate that he was swinging at everything. And he had one chance, a ground ball to third, which he cleanly handled and threw to first. So this is going to happen, Curtis, and it's going to happen soon. I know that you and Steve talked a lot about this over the past 2 weeks, but any new thoughts on this? More excited, nervous? How are you feeling about this?
Yeah, I'm excited to have him back. I guess I'm still a little nervous about him moving over there. And I don't know, have they said how many rehab starts he's going to get before he – did you just say that and I missed that?
No. I know you tuned me out, but I did not say that.
Yes.
I don't know, but I think we're looking at, a couple more weeks, maybe a week or two.
Yeah, I would, because he only got 4 swings out of his 2 plate appearances. So I want to see a lot more swings to make sure that the wrist is in good shape before we rush things too dramatically and get him up here. And, you know, something happens with the wrist and all of a sudden he's out for another month or something like that.
Yeah. So. I mean, there's absolutely no reason to rush him. But Kemp has been on it a bit of did not have a great June, certainly as it compared to the earlier in the season. But you look at a lineup, and I don't even know what the right batting order is, but you've got Inciarte, Phillips, Freeman, Kemp, Adams, Flowers, Markakis, Swanson, with Santana and Camargo and Suzuki on the bench. That's exciting.
He have the 2 home runs today.
This week. Sorry. Give a little foreshadowing for Shot in the Dark.
Suzuki hit 2 home runs today.
I think there's a lot of teams out there that would like to have that lineup. You know?
Oh, sure.
I mean,
yeah. Kemp has fallen off a cliff, but maybe he needs a break or something like that. But absolutely. That's an exciting lineup. And you feel like that there's a lot of potential there.
Cologne is gone. Newcomb's coming on. I mean, I think it's exciting. I mean, I don't even know, not to talk about it, but all of a sudden, where does Markakis go? I mean, all these guys who are good bats are getting pushed lower and lower in the lineup. And that's only a good thing. So.
Yeah, and at some point we're going to have to start talking about what the Braves are going to be doing, if they're going to be sellers. I mean, I still feel like there's this sort of hopefulness around the team that because they're in second place in the National League East, that there's some relevance to that.
That's fool's gold.
Yeah. So we'll see. I'm all for keeping these guys around. I think that there's these guys just playing it out. There's more served with them being on the Braves and them dumping them for some low level.
Yeah, but although I still think Phillips is a piece we got to move, right? With Albies out there, I think his value is so high right now.
Yeah, there's no way that especially after the season he's having this year that he's going to come back to the Braves as a bench player. I mean, it's just never happening.
No, and I think there's no better time to move them. His value to us is for the long-term future of the Braves as high as right now as a trade asset. So, and again, I think the world of him, but I think that's just what it is.
Sure.
All right, Curtis. So we're going to talk.
Well, we got to mention. Sorry, we were supposed to touch on this a little earlier, but Patrick Weigel being out, having Tommy John this week, is going to miss basically all of next year too. So, a piece that was really sort of developing, a guy that they had some expectations for, which is unfortunate that he blew his elbow out and he will miss the season. It's certainly an interesting guy that they could have potentially been the next one up. He had been pitching pretty well. So that's unfortunate that a young pitcher goes down. But hopefully, you know, with the way that surgery is now, he bounces back and we'll see him in 2019 when the Braves will actually be contending.
Yes, exactly. All right, so let's do a quick check-in on All-Star news in a bit, but before that, we're going to take a quick break. All right, Curtis, it was announced tonight that Ender Inciarte was named to the All-Star game as a reserve and as the only player representing the Braves. So a hearty congratulations to Ender. Had a brief slow start to the season, but he's amazing. He's amazing. When he was amazing last year, he was one of the most electric players on the team. He still is that amazing defender, a spark plug at the top of the lineup, a consistent hitter, and by all accounts, a great personality. So I can only hope that he is a Brave and an All-Star for many years to come. Anything to add there?
No, save that game's day with that great sliding catch, throw to home to prevent them from scoring in extra innings, which would have lost the game, obviously. It is, you know, not to harp back on poor Shelby Miller, but it is amazing that you pride Ender and Dansby Swanson out of the Diamondbacks for Shelby Miller. I mean, it's just, but which goes to show that perhaps the conversation we just had about dumping some high-end talent for a pitcher who you have high expectations for perhaps is not the wisest move to take. But he's a great fun. I mean, the leadoff batter that the Braves have needed for so long, 106 hits and counting before the All-Star game, which I wish I had heard who it was, but it's the first time that a Brave has had that many hits in a while. I think it might've been Freddie from a few years ago, but amazing season and really a great addition and great part of this team. We're so much fun to watch and well-deserved, obviously, to get an All-Star nod. I mean, he is certainly playing at an All-Star level. I guess it's disappointing that the Braves, and because of perhaps Kemp's collapse and Freddie's injury, that they only end up with one All-Star rep this year.
Freddie, I mean, Freeman makes a team, no doubt, if he's, and he, I mean, maybe even starting.
Yeah.
So some other All-Star news is a game during All-Star weekend is the Futures game, where there's a U.S. team versus a world team. And two Braves prospects were selected for the world team, Ronald Acuna and Mike Soroka. And not much to say here, but let's just look at some of the numbers that they've got for this season. And you know, per DOB, Acuna has hit .309 with 27 extra base hits, 6 triples, 8 home runs, a .361 on base percentage, and 30 stolen bases in 72 games this season between High A Florida and Double A Mississippi.
And he's 19.
Yeah, it includes he would much notably better marks at the higher classifications. He's 2 or 3 years younger than most of those that he's competing against. So that's exciting. In Double A, he's hit .324, 5 homers, .378 OBP, 16 stolen bases in 44 games. He's played all 3 outfield positions, started center field 25 times, and doesn't turn 20 until December. And he's the 3rd youngest player selected to play in this year's Futures game. So that is good. When do you think we see him at SunTrust? 2019?
Yeah, I would say it's probably pretty fast tracked. But yeah, sure, why not? 2019. That's when I'm pegging all my hopes.
Yes,
the
me
Braves.
Too.
The Braves have to win the World Series in 2019, or I might have to quit doing this podcast. I'm saying it now.
I think we have to be competitive for. Well, we're going to talk about where we are in the rebuilding process against other teams, but I feel like 2019 we should be competing for postseason appearance. All right, Soroka. First round pick in 2015 is 9-3 with a 2.72 ERA and a 0.9 WHIP in 14 starts at Double A Mississippi. He's one of the youngest starting pitchers in Double A and has been at that level all season. He's 6'5", Canadian, has 71 strikeouts, 17 walks, and 82 2/3, and he's only allowed 5 home runs in his 65 hits allowed. So that too is a good thing. Some other quick news on this, and this is really just to make Steve happy. The World Team's coaching staff has former Braves Edgar Renteria as a manager and Steve's favorite pitcher, Levon Hernandez, as the pitching coach. And then quickly, in the AAA All-Star game, Ozzie Albies and Lucas Sims will be representing the Braves there. Any thoughts, Curtis?
No.
Yay is the thought there.
Yes.
All right. 2019.
That's right.
Yeah, I'd say actually, you know, probably 18 for those guys. All right. Our final segment here tonight before we get to Shot in the Dark. So ESPN recently came out with a ranking of the top rebuilding franchises that are currently underway in the majors. Their premise is that everyone is trying to replicate what the Astros are doing, rightfully so. And I have to say, in a very disappointing position, the ESPN put the Braves 7th out of 9, with the Braves just ahead of the Padres and, of course, satisfyingly ahead of the Phillies. And I really don't think there's a limit to how much pleasure I get from seeing the Phillies be horrible. I just have to put that in there. So, Curtis, what are your thoughts on this? You agree on this ranking? You have any reactions to this?
Well, I guess I'm not sure how they put this list together. And I suppose it's how the teams are doing on a major league level, which I guess makes sense. But if you're a rebuilding team, it seems to more be a process than results. I mean, the Braves, this is sort of looking beyond the fact that the Braves, all the talent they have is young and way down in their farm system. So sort of view this through the lens of how the major league team is doing, I think sort of misses the point of where the Braves are in their rebuilding development, you know? And obviously some of these other teams are having more success or moderately more success on a major league level, but I'm not really looking at the Braves right now as that their rebuild is 7th out of 9th. I mean, that seems like they've not done a good job, because I don't think that you can evaluate the Braves on that level yet, because like we've just been talking about numerous times, I still feel like that this is several years away before we finally start to see the culmination of all this effort that these guys have put in to create the team.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm with you, but I will say, if you look at the standings, it doesn't completely, you know, that's not the full thing. I mean, the Rays are doing better than expected, but the Braves are, you know, right there with the Twins, who are 4th. The Brewers are only a couple games. I mean, they're 44 and 40. The Braves are 40 and 41. So, I don't know. I don't know what it is. I think maybe it's a little bit of surprise, I guess. You know, I the other thing that I would say is that the one thing that jumped out at me on this, because I don't know where it came from, although I was sort of angry because I felt like, I think maybe in my mind I was interchanging having a number one farm system with having a number one rebuild team. And maybe, I guess, those aren't the same thing. Obviously, what you're doing at the major league level. I feel like we're close, though. We are very expensive for a rebuilding team. So if you look at opening day payrolls, ours was $112.4 million, which puts us at 19th in the league, and we were the highest payroll of all the teams that were on that list. The Rays, for the record, were the number one team on that list, followed by the Brewers. So I don't know. I think it's one person's opinion. There's a lot to like about the Braves. I think also, if you look at the Rays, a lot of their young guys are there now, right? I mean, the people, the Lucas Sims and the Ozzie Albies and the Dustin Petersons and the future of the franchises are here now. And so for those guys, and I think to some extent it's true for the Brewers as well. So the future for them is right now. And I guess the Braves are maybe, there's a time component to this as well about just where we are. But I think in terms of the quality of the rebuild, Coppy had a tough hand this year. He could not, with the if the Braves were not moving into SunTrust Park this year, I think it's a different story, right? I mean, he could not just mail in this season for the fans. And this was mentioned in the article. So, I mean, I think his he had one hand tied behind his back in terms of just going into a full rebuild and trying to, instead of having Cologne and instead of having Dickey, maybe we're seeing Sims here. Maybe Fried is pushed forward a little bit closer, you know, or faster. Weigel before his injury. So, I don't know. It made me angry. I don't take a lot of stock in it. But it did make me realize that there, you know, we're not as close as we want to be with this. Maybe it's 2019.
Yes.
All right. And who cares? Who reads ESPN anyway?
Yes.
All right, folks. So let's do, Curtis, let's wrap this up. Let's do Shot in the Dark in the week ahead. Whenever Steve's not here, our shows always go long. People get a bonus show here. So for Shots in the Dark, this is where we make our crazy, crazy predictions about the week ahead and then check in to see how we did against them. And let's start with a look back at last week's Shot in the Dark, and we'll start, as we always do, with a listener-submitted shot. So this came from Jacob Hyatt via Twitter, and he said, guys named Matt will hit 6 homers and drive in 15 runs, 15 RBIs.
Steve was so happy to leave that one with you.
He was. He was. And I will get him back. But if we're just counting guys named Matt on the Braves, spoiler alert, we are, then, well, Matt Kemp had 0 home runs and 4 RBIs. And Matt Adams had 0 home run and 1 RBIs. So unless I'm forgetting a Matt on the Braves, Jacob, you were wrong. Sorry. I'm not forgetting a Matt, am I?
I don't think so.
All right. That's good. I don't really follow the team.
Right. Matt Swanson.
Matt Swanson.
Isn't that a guy?
He is. I know there's a couple of Freemans on the team. All right, so let's go to ours. So in my absence last week, I said that Brandon Phillips would have 4 multi-hit games this week. He was just short of that with 0. Steve said that the Braves...
So close.
Steve said that the Braves would hit home runs in each game this week and go 5-for-1.
Also so close.
They went 4-for-2, and as I said, Kurt Suzuki hit 2 home runs today, a great one in the 12th, but he hit the only homers by a Brave all week. So,
I warned him, those big... big parks.
Yeah, yeah. If only he listened to you.
Yeah.
You, Curtis, you were the closest. You said Camargo would hit over 315 with 2 homers and 3 doubles. He hit 278, no homers in that giant park, and 3 doubles. So by far the best of us, but not close enough. So no winners this week, which means for June, I win.
Way to go, Ham.
Thanks, thanks. I wish Steve was here so I could rub it in his face. His little hopeful face.
Text him after the show.
Don't you worry. I'm texting him right now. So, and in even better news, I am in the lead for the season-long Shot in the Dark, which, of course, will also be part of my text. All right, so let's look at the week ahead. Steve sent us one for next week. He tried to capture some of the magic that you tried to capture from last week, Steve. Curtis, he thinks Camargo is going to bat over 385 with 2 homers.
Wow.
Yeah, I think he was afraid of being ridiculed by us, but too late up there. All right, so we'll see how he does there. Curtis, what do you got?
Well, mine is a positive that ends up as a negative, sort of like my life.
Your middle name.
Yes.
That's your wrestling finisher.
That is true. The atomic elbow. The Braves starters give up fewer earned runs than the starters for the Astros and the Nationals. But the Braves, spoiler alert, go 2-4 this week.
Wah, wah. All right. Maybe you'll use a little reverse jinx there. Well, I have to say, anytime we play the Nats, I try to put the stank on Bryce Harper, and this time is no different. So I say Bryce hits 4 homers and over 325 using my my good for evil or whatever it is, my badness for goodness. There's something in there. I'm trying to do one thing to do another thing.
Yes.
I forget what you call it.
I don't even know.
I'm sure someone will remind me on Twitter. All right. So those are our shots in the dark. Folks, submit your shots in the dark. We don't have a game tomorrow, but we start against the Astros on Tuesday.
The Nastros.
So get your shots in the dark submitted. Submit them through Twitter with hashtag ABTSITD, and we will pick one. We will tweet it out, and then we'll talk about it on next week's show. All right. Finally, Curtis, the week ahead. We got 2 against the Astros, 4 2 at home against the Astros, 4 on the road against the Nats. What are our pitching matchups?
Right. So Astros short series, we get Brad Peacock. He of the 5-1 and 272 ERA. He gets Newcomb. The second game is Joe Musgrove versus Jaime Garcia. Musgrove sporting a 4-7 record with a 601 ERA. On to Washington, we get Folty versus Gio Gonzalez, who is coming in at 7-3 with a 2.77 ERA. Then it's not an easy stretch here against the Nats. Dickey versus Scherzer, who is 9-5 with a 1.97 ERA. Then it's Teoron Strasburg, who is 9-2 with a 3.51 ERA. And the only glimmer of hope, Newcomb versus Joe Ross, who is 4-3 with a 5.12 ERA.
Well, yeah, the only hope is that you get to the Nats bullpen.
Yeah. So three, four really good starters and a couple of guys named Joe.
All right. So Steve did not send his in, but I know he thinks we're going to go 8-0 in our six games this week.
Yep.
So we'll put that down for him. I just have to say the chatter has already begun that, and this happens, I think it feels like this happens a lot. Oh, we're headed in the All-Star break. If we can sweep the Nats on the road, all of a sudden we're right there in it and we can compete. And just stop, everybody. Just stop. That's not happening. I think we go 2-4.
Yes, I already buried the lead on that one, I too say 2-4.
All right. Well, maybe they'll prove us wrong like they continually do. All right. Great show, Curtis. All right, everybody. That is it. We miss Steve. Steve will be back next week for a full complement of ABT hosts. Thanks for listening, everybody. Check us out on Twitter. Check us out on Facebook. Visit us on our website. And have a great 4th. We'll see you next week. Go Braves.
Thanks for listening to Atlanta Baseball Talk, your weekly podcast for all things Atlanta Braves. To find new shows, to post in our forum, or to send a comment, please visit us at AtlantaBaseballTalk.com.